You are listening to CKMS News on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of the show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website, canada-info.ca. I'm your host, Shalaka Jadhav. Before we get into the show today, I want to acknowledge that we're coming up on almost a year since the pandemic was announced in Canada. It's been a tough year, and for me, it feels aching to think about climate change on top of what we're going through, and the immense weight of the irreversible changes it'll present in our lives. In my day job, I work in the climate space, and while there's incredible momentum on climate action thanks to Indigenous land and water defenders and young people across the nation and world, there's also an urgency that creeps on us every day. What helps me through the heaviness is centering the fulfillment that comes from building collective action. Concluding our two-part series, we'll talk about the history of organizing in the region that the campaign is building on, the importance of building solidarity, and what a just climate future could look like in the region. So can you give a one-sentence introduction to yourselves and share how you're connected to 50 by 30?
My name is Kai Reimer Watts. I'm a community climate justice organizer with 50 by 30 and have been with the campaign for about a year now.
My name is Stephanie Gertz, and I'm a volunteer with the 50 by 30 campaign. And I'm just passionate about getting things done and helping where I can.
I'm Meg Rattan Walker, and I've been one of the climate justice organizers with 50 by 30 since the summer. And I am previously a Fridays for Future Waterloo Region organizer.
My name is Andres Fuentes, and I've been working on climate change at various levels for the past 10 years and got involved in the climate strikes a couple of years ago, which eventually morphed into this.
You've sort of spoken to the fact that there is a bit of a history of climate organizing and general organizing in Waterloo Region. Whose work are you building off of and learning from and going forward?
That's a very long list. We're working with some great organizers that have been part of many movements locally. There's lots around housing and housing security. Some of the people we're working with, like was mentioned, around Black Lives Matters, around Indigenous sovereignty. I remember being involved and learning some of the organizing stuff from what used to exist, the Global Community Center back in the 90s in this community. Then we were talking about climate change and the environment back then. Every movement you build, you're building on the great work that has come before, but also with the energy of a lot of young people and a new generation that I think has also brought a lot of energy and ideas and boldness.
We were organizing before, but the 2018 IPCC 1.5 report was a huge catalyst. Greta Thunberg coming out and having her Fridays for Future strikes. I think there was a sort of zeitgeist and catalyzing moment for us where we had been working and working with different organizations throughout the community disparately, I mean, not all together, but sometimes together. But it really came together and climate change became a more of a center culturally and in the media. And that gave us the opportunity to think bigger and do more at this point in time and, you know, continue to do more.
I think it's important to put the 50 by 30 campaign itself in the context of a global movement where more and more cities, municipalities are stepping up to commit to this target right now. And that's somewhat similar to what we saw a year and a half ago with the climate emergency declarations, that there was this kind of wave of declarations around the world, and Waterloo Region in many ways got swept up with that to recognize what we're in, right? It's hard to address a problem without first acknowledging publicly that it is a crisis situation. It's an emergency situation. And so the 50 by 30 campaign as well, now that that acknowledgement has been made, the question is, okay, what then? Like, you know, it's good to acknowledge that we're in an emergency situation from our regional municipal government, but we really need action. So that's what this 50 by 30 Target is all about to push for the action we need. And, you know, we would not be the first to do it. There's so many examples of other cities leading the way, and we need to also step up.
So there's a lot of dialogue we've been having, a lot of pillars that we've been bringing together to kind of engage and learn, you know, what does this 50 by 30 mean to you? How does this impact you? What are you already doing in the community that is actually builds on this momentum that may not be perceived as building 50 by 30, but it's implemental in developing the justice side of it. So, I mean, there's just, we are hoping to bring together the voice and the people and ramp up their voice and making sure that, you know, what they are saying is extremely important, that they are heard.
And it's not just us trying to envision a world for the community. We want this to be a community building moment and a world building moment so that we can re-envision together, not just, you know, a silo of climate activists, but an entire community trying to re-envision how we can go into the future safely and taking care of each other and really focusing on well-being. And it's very difficult to envision a future, especially when faced with climate change, because it's terrifying. And we know that it's bad and we know it's going to get worse, but what can we do about it? We cannot build that world unless we can envision ourselves in it and envision ourselves together in it.
That's a really great point about community building efforts and centered around well-being. And you have a continued sort of mini campaign, potentially I could call it, calling out for 50 by 30 champions. Can you tell us about that call out and how you found that storytelling affects what you're advocating for?
We are asking for 2-minute videos from people around Waterloo Region of all ages. We want a diverse set of people talking about their feelings about the future, what their hopes are for the future, how they feel about the climate crisis. And I think it's very easy for someone to feel alone and isolated when they think about climate change. And I think probably most of us here have felt that and felt the need to go out and organize or be activists because of it. But it's not easy. I think everybody can do it. Everybody can step up. But one of my primary goals is to get people out to help facilitate everybody's ability to come out and speak about climate change. And there's been such a silence about climate change for, you know, my entire life. If we're not in denial, we're paralyzed by fear. We want to help people break out of that paralysis. We want to help them and tell them, you know what, we can all do this together. Nothing that we do as individuals or as an organization is so unique or bespoke that we can't help other people do the same thing. And the fact of the matter is, it's going to take all of us, not just some of us, to do this. It's a global effort. It's a global movement. It's a local movement. It's got to be the big and the little together, including on the individual level. So part of what I'm hoping for climate champions is that we can help people speak and we can break that silence around climate change. And then we can move past it to have action together and individually to address the crisis.
So some of the things we're asking for climate champions to do is to call their counselors, email their counselors, phone their mayors or their MPs, raise their voice, share your stories with family and friends. We have a toolkit that people can log into, and we've given examples of different things that they can call their counselors about so they can feel more comfortable if you've never done it before, or how to email someone. I've just recently talked with a friend just the other day, and she was saying, you know, it's COVID and I'm so anxious and I don't know, I have this time available and I don't know what to do. And I think part of who we are, what makes us who we are, is we need to be engaged with people. We need to feel that we're contributing in some way. And I feel like social media and all that stuff has made it feel like we're engaging with people, but we're not. We're missing that connection. We're missing the ability to feel that we're contributing to something greater than ourselves. It's what we are, you know. And some people who don't normally volunteer don't recognize that when they're feeling this, that the option is to volunteer, to give back, and how they can do that. And so we hope to raise awareness to people who don't normally volunteer. We don't want the normal people. We don't want the people, well, we do want the people that normally are green and believe in us, but we want the everyday person to recognize how this impacts them, what they can do, and that this isn't just about them helping us. It's we want to make it feel that we are fulfilling something in their life that they need so that they can feel more whole and happier and just part of their community.
It's a really important part of what this campaign is. And I think it's also something to aspire to. Like, the reality is that that climate change is such a momentous challenge that it requires us all to find the champion within us to take it on, not alone, but collectively. And so that's partly what that call out has been. And on the visioning side, you know, we were really inspired and impressed by the number of people who came out to this visioning event last fall that was co-hosted with the Bridge Center for Architecture. And this was a fully online visioning event of what a just green Waterloo region could look like. You know, when we're thinking about crisis, it can sometimes feel very constricting. But what we want to do as both I won't just call it a campaign, but really a movement, is to envision and start to actualize these changes throughout our region.
Some of the work we did this summer was looking at different areas of the community and what makes up a community and how we could implement climate change mitigation and justice at the same time. So things like free public transit, more local community gardens, better access to local food, 15-minute cities, so cities where you can get anywhere for things you need. So often, you know, groceries, recreation, work, all within a 15-minute walking or cycling radius from where you live, more school educational outreach, affordable housing that is also carbon neutral, lots of initiatives that we're looking to push and that can make up part of a 50% by 2030 reduction in a way that also has really positive social outcomes.
Yeah, and on the piece, you know, all of you have spoken to justice. There's a statement on the website that I really liked that says, "We recognize that this work must be grounded in justice and undertaken in solidarity with and prioritizing needs of those most impacted by climate change in our community and commit to doing our part." What does this mean to you right now and looking into the future? What could it look like?
For me, it means not just going out to climate actions and climate organizing. It's about putting your body on the line and showing up for organizations like Black Lives Matter, like Land Back and Indigenous Sovereignty, and making sure that we make those connections with those groups, not just so that we can say, oh, we've talked to them, not to tokenize them, but to work with them and to act in solidarity with them. When we were doing the Fridays for Future strikes, we made sure that people like Amy Smoke and Black Lives Matter activists came to our strikes so they could have representation and so they could actually speak to the problems that their communities face. Not so we could speak for them, but so that we can step back and make room for them so that they can be involved in the decision-making process and have not just a seat at the table, but proper space for them to lead on it rather than just follow someone else.
So I'm gonna take a rural lens to this. I'm in Wilmot, a rural township of Waterloo region. And I know a lot of times we think about what the urban perspective is, but there's also the rural perspective. And some of the things that get missed is in the goals for reducing emissions, it's also looking at different building materials. It's looking at how do we use land differently? How do we ensure that our water is secure? And so when we look at aggregate being mined in areas that are primary farmlands, where we need to secure our food so that we have local access to local food, where we have the different layers of the earth that is washing the water that goes down into the aquifer that we, Waterloo region, gets its source water from, its drinking water from this aquifer. There's lots of details underlaying all these little bits and pieces, and we can't look at it from one lens. We have to look at it from multiple lens. Because yes, we need more houses. Well, yes, we do. But we also need to make sure that it's done in a way that doesn't hurt the environment, doesn't hurt our communities, doesn't hurt our drinking water. So there's tons of layers that having our local community come together and share our knowledge will increase the likelihood that our region and our townships make better decisions based on the knowledge of the people that live in the community.
So talking about future and vision, if Waterloo Region can in fact commit to a 50% reduction in greenhouse emissions by 2030, what does the region look like in your day-to-day lives and more broadly?
The best way to describe it is a more livable city, a city that emphasizes community spaces, a greener city, and like I don't mean more sustainable greener, but like actually physically greener. You know, Paris, for example, just announced they're going to redo one of their main streets to make it basically a park. And think about the amount of time you could save if everything you need to for your daily living is within 15 minutes of your house walking or cycling, not to mention the money if you don't necessarily need a car and the flexibility that you have. I think there's a lot of really exciting opportunities when it comes to sustainability and sustainable city design that would make our lives more enjoyable.
And healthier for everyone. It's not just, one of our pillars is public health as well. It's not just about more enjoyable, but the enjoyment of having these green spaces and the supports that we have. When we go outside, I mean, humans love trees, humans need nature. We genuinely need it. We need to be outside. If nothing else, I've learned this from COVID, is that being trapped in my house and not seeing other people has been devastating. And when you have green spaces, there are studies that say their mental health improves. Overall physical well-being improves, right? You get out there, and rather than being secluded in our cars or secluded in our little bubbles, we get out there together as a community and we get to reconnect with nature. And that's where we come from. That's where we go back to, right? We spend so much time pretending we're separate from it. And I think that's partially why the climate crisis doesn't feel as urgent for some of us as others. For instance, Indigenous people know they need the land. Whereas settlers, I think we need a reminder.
And some of the things that this might look like, it might be retrofits to your house. It might be solar panels on your roof. It might be, and this has to do with more so policies and directives and rebates being done by the government. Houses being built with different products or materials. It could mean a push to have more electrified vehicles, transit opportunities on our roads, not having diesel engines.
I just want to emphasize that, you know, this kind of wide, beautiful buffet of options of what the future could be. And it can go so much more beyond even kind of the taste that we've given here. All of that is given a push. All of it is encouraged by passing this target. And so, you know, I think sometimes we live in cities or in spaces and feel disempowered to actually engage and help shape them. And part of what is so beautiful about a campaign like this and about the real urgency that it's responding to, that this is about our survival, is that it also gives us a sense of agency over how we shape our shared community together, once again prioritizing those who have often been the least privileged by our current systems. So we can really help to reshape how these systems function. And I want to make clear with this campaign, you know, no one is pretending to have all of the answers or a crystal ball of exactly what 50 by 30 will look like. The point is that we know we need to get there. And, you know, there's no reason not to begin that journey together and to strive big in it. Centering the right values that help guide the way.
And I'm keen to hear how members of the Waterloo Region community can learn more and stay connected with the campaign.
To just quickly plug a couple events coming up that folks can get involved with. One, we are co-hosting with Kitchener's The Museum, And this is really exciting, particularly because it's kind of coming full circle from an exhibit that started in response to the climate emergency declarations that took place a year and a half ago. So when those happened, the museum stepped up and said, you know what, we need to respond to this climate emergency. And they launched Alarm. And that exhibit has been going on for a year, featuring artists, again, engaging with this. We need creative, visionary people. And the museum really provided a space for that. Had a powerful banner at the center of Kitchener that really pushed people to engage with this. And now on the 27th of January, that exhibit will be closing, and we are hosting an event called Alarm Dialogues with them that is going to be profiling, in this case, voices from the Interdisciplinary Center of Climate Change at the University of Waterloo, and speaking to different solutions that can get implemented from their areas of expertise. So we are continuing to build new ways of engaging. The one after that, coming up in mid-February as a teaser, is going to be a faith-based engagement event. We're calling it 50 by 30 Faith. And that will be really an opportunity for people of faith to make the connections from a spiritual and faith perspective as to why climate justice matters, and to then start taking action as well. So, I mean, a movement is made up of many, many parts to achieve the scale of change that is needed. And that's really what we're hoping to help spark here, is many folks to get involved while we also support on-the-ground solutions that are already happening.
Yeah, and the last thing is, you know, easy peasy, something for everyone can do is go to our website, sign up for our mailing list, and sign the petition. We don't send out too many emails. We'll keep you updated, and you can decide when it's right for you, how you would like to be engaged.
And of course, is there anything else you'd like to add, or you felt like we missed in our questions here?
We really do need everyone. And so if something resonated here with you, definitely reach out. There's lots of ways to support. We have a communications toolkit for doing so. And as a near-term action, we are going to be taking a motion to council. Of course, this looks a little different from when we did in-person motions for the climate emergency declarations. But we're still going to need to fill the room with supporters. And so be on the lookout for an invitation to that. And simply, you know, lending your clear support, whether it's through the petition or coming out to do a delegation or just show up in the room virtually, all of that sends a message. All of that says is a vote for this mattering to you. At the end of the day, this is about all of our futures. And so we really hope everyone listens to this will vote yes for climate action, justice, recognizing we can do this.
You've been listening to CKMS News in conversation with Kai Rimmer-Watts, Stephanie Gates, Megan Rutten, and Andreas Fuentes, who are part of the grassroots community-led campaign 50 by 30 Waterloo Region. You can learn more about the ongoing efforts at www.50by30wr.ca or check them out on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. The accounts are linked in the show notes of the CKMS website. You can check out the archive versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. You can email news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover.